Prabhupada is doing grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Just a comment. This verse reminds us of the section in the Srimad Bhagavatam where one Muni, whose name was Atri, was praying to the Lord of the universe to please come because he wanted to have a son from the... He wanted a benediction to get a son. So he was praying to the Lord. But he didn't have a clear idea of who the Supreme Lord was or who the Lord of the universe. So as a result, three personalities came to his hermitage. And these personalities were the three mentioned here, Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva. They all three came. And the idea was that he had a vague conception of the Lord of the universe, so all three of them, they didn't know which one he was calling. So they all came. And as a result, he got sons. One was Dattatreya, Durvasa, and one other. Three sons. So, it's true that the guna avatars are the Lord of the universe. After all, Brahma creates and Shiva destroys and Vishnu maintains. So they're all extremely powerful. And in this sense, Lord Vishnu is taking a humble position, although actually, as I'm sure Srila Prabhupada will explain, actually he is supreme. He's the cause of both Shiva and Brahma, but still he's taking the position that they're all on the same level. At least we can say that they may be on the same level qualitatively, because the individual living entities who are Jiva souls, they also have the same qualitative. They're also conscious, Krishna's conscious. They're eternal, Krishna's eternal, nityo, nityanam, chaitanas, chaitananam. But the quantity is different. Vishnu has unlimited potencies, and we're very small. We have potency, but not the same as Vishnu. So let's read the purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Brahma was born out of the transcendental body of Lord Vishnu, and Lord Shiva was born out of the body of Lord Brahma. Lord Vishnu, therefore, is the supreme cause. What does Brahma say in the Brahma Samhita about cause of all causes? Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satyananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda, Sarva Karana Karanam. He is the cause of all causes, that Govinda. That Govinda is Vishnu. Vishnu Govinda, there's no difference. And this was stated by Brahma, who should know because he is the first being in the universe. When Lord Brahma was born, there was no one else. But there was one other person, and that was Lord Vishnu. So Lord Brahma's statement is the highest evidence, at least formally in court. The best form of evidence was what they call an eyewitness. Nowadays, I don't think they trust anyone. Eyewitness doesn't mean very much these days. But formerly, that was the case, when people used to tell the truth, sometimes. But Lord Brahma is the perfect eyewitness, first of all, because he has eight eyes, and he was the only one there to see. can we say, well, we want more evidence than that? You have Lord Brahma saying that Vishnu is the original, the Krishna, Govinda, Ishvara Parama Krishna. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, not Vishnu. He didn't say Ishvara Parama Vishnu. He said Ishvara Parama Krishna. And then, just to make it completely clear who he's talking about, he says Govinda Madi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. That Govinda, that Krishna, he's the supreme. And Vishnu is the expansion of Krishna, direct svamsa expansion. Continuing in the purport. In the Vedas also it is stated that in the beginning there was only Vishnu, Narayan. There was no Brahma, there was no Shiva. Similarly, Shankaracharya confirmed this, Narayana Para. Narayana, or Lord Vishnu, is the origin, and Brahma and Shiva are manifested after creation. You see the difference? Vishnu was not created, but Shiva and Brahma, they get their bodies after the creation. Therefore, there's a difference. Lord Vishnu, continuing, Lord Vishnu is also Atmeshvara, the Supersoul in everyone. Brahma's not the Supersoul in everyone. Lord Shiva's not Supersoul in everyone. We don't learn from the Vedas that Lord Shiva expands himself into the heart of everyone. We learn that Vishnu, in his form as Kshira Dakshai Vishnu, expands as the Supersoul, Upadrashta Anumanta. Ishvara Parama Ishvara Sarva Bhuteshu Name Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridesha Arjuna Tishtati. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that he is situated in everyone's heart as Super Soul. Lord Shiva does not make this statement. He does not have such audacity to make a false statement. There are differences. Continuing, under his direction, everything is prompted from within. For example, in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated, Tene Brahma Hrida. He first educated Lord Brahma from within. In Bhagavad Gita 10.2, Lord Krishna states, Aham Adir Hidevana. Lord Vishnu or Krishna is the origin of all demigods, including Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. This is an important point. We may take it for granted but there are many people who have a difficult time with this, that there's one supreme God, because they like to equate all the demigods on the same level. But this is called Pashandi. One who thinks that Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or other demigods are on an equal level with Krishna is an offender. He's Pashandi. He's an atheist. You say, well, why atheist? He's so pious. He goes, he worships in the temple, he gives respect to all the gods. Yeah, but it's not that there are many gods. There's one supreme God, and then there's demigods. And if one thinks that there are many gods, then his chanting will be offensive. This is one of the 10 offenses to the chanting of the holy names. So he can go on chanting and chanting and chanting, but it will take a very long time because of that offensive mentality. That's why there is quite a difference who we hear from. For example, if we hear the pastimes of Krishna from someone who considers that all the gods are equal. This is an offender. He's not a devotee. He may say he likes Krishna and he likes the gopis, but actually he's an avaiṣṇava. Avaiṣṇava mukhut girnam putam harikatamitam shravanam naiva kartavyam sarpo chishtaham yatapaya. Milk touched by the lips of a serpent causes poisonous effects. Similarly, discussions about Krishna from the lips of non-devotees is poisonous for one interested in making spiritual advancement. Therefore, we should not hear from these mundane reciters, professional reciters. Now they're starting to come to America. So beware. You know, sometime you'll hear that such and such Babu is conducting a Bhagavad Saptaha or some kind of a recital in Srimad Bhagavatam, and you'll be invited and say, why don't you come and hear? It's great. It's really interesting, really. No. We don't take, Vaishnavas, pure Vaishnavas never take part in such things. In fact, they carefully avoid these meetings. Or even if it's on film, or video, or movie, or... Beware, because your devotional life, your consciousness, is the most valuable thing that you have. And once you get that contaminated, just like yesterday, we were concerned about one of our devotees because he had some infection and he wasn't dealing with it. So, as one of the Prabhus pointed out, that he doesn't know that if that poison gets into the bloodstream, he can be dead in a few days, finished. He doesn't realize. That's our ignorance. We don't know. Similarly, we don't realize how dangerous it is to hear from the wrong source or imbibing these poisons. But be very careful. Only hear from authorized sources. Authorized means, as Srila Prabhupada pointed out, we should hear in our disciplic succession, and even more specifically, we should hear from ISKCON authorities. He made it clear, Prabhupada. He didn't want us going out to hear. Now, that's quite common these days. We like to go out and hear from other sources. But Prabhupada didn't want us to do that. When they did it in Vrindavan, Prabhupada stopped it. Chastised them severely. There was one of his own disciples who said, liked to go out and listen to other sannyasis and swamis. And Prabhupada said, no, you must stay here. He said, if you're not satisfied with the level of classes that are given, you can give class. But you cannot go out in here. So nowadays, we think we're mature. We're so mature that we don't need to follow Prabhupada's instructions anymore. We think they're old-fashioned. And the result is, we become bewildered. Let us continue in the purport. Similarly, in the another place in Bhagavad Gita, 10.8, Krishna states, Aham sarvasya prabhava. Everything is generated from me. This includes all the demigods. Similarly, in the Vedanta Sutra, Janma jasya yataha, and in the Upanishads, is the statement, Yatova imani bhutani jayante. Everything is generated from Lord Vishnu. Everything is maintained by him, and everything is annihilated by his energy. Therefore, by their actions and reactions, the energies which come from him create the cosmic manifestations and also dissolve the whole creation. Thus, the Lord is the cause and also the effect. Whatever effect we see is the interaction of his energy. And because the energy is generated from him, he is both cause and effect. Actually, he's everything. He's the cause, he's the effect, he's the energy, all the varieties of energy. So actually, you could make a case for saying, well, everything is God, so it doesn't matter what I do, I'm in God consciousness. In fact, how can I be anything other than God consciousness? Or how can I be even other than God? Let's really get to the point. I'm God. How can I be anything other than God if everything's God? I'm also God. And because I'm God, therefore I'm absolute. And because I'm absolute, anyway, it goes on like this. I'm perfect. But no, this is Mayavad philosophy. Mayavad philosophy does not make any distinctions. Kaivalyam, oneness. But the Vaishnavas say, Kaivalyam Narakayate. This oneness is hellish. They consider it hell. Because they make the distinction between the individual jiva souls, the Atma and the Atmeshvara, the Lord of all souls. And this is described by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his sublime doctrine, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Simultaneously, everything is one with and different from the Lord. Continuing in the purport. Whatever we affect, we see in the interaction of his energy, and because the energy is generated, whatever effect we see is the interaction of his energy, and because the energy is generated from him, he is both the cause and effect. Simultaneously, everything is different and the same. It is said that everything is Brahman, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. In the highest vision, nothing is beyond Brahman, and therefore Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are certainly non-different from him. Any questions or comments? Yes, everything is God. At least everything is coming from him. But he has varieties of energies. The impersonalists, they think that everything is of the same energy or the same one quality. But actually the Lord has many different types of energies. Some of them are, even by his own description, some of them are inferior, apara, and some of them are para, superior. So why would he make such distinctions? Doesn't he understand, Vedanta philosophy? Why is he making these distinctions? Because there are higher and or superior and inferior energies. The superior energy is the jiva. And the jiva soul is conscious. Whereas the inferior energy, the avidya, avidya shakti, it's not conscious. This, for example, this cord made of rubber and, some wire, it's not conscious. Therefore, it's inferior energy. And even amongst the superior energy, the jivas, and the super soul is not only conscious, but is fully conscious of everything. So there's a difference. You can't say that you're one in all respects with God. You're part of God. Just like the drop of water from the ocean. It's the ocean, but at the same time it's not the ocean. You agree? Is it, do you say it's completely the same as the ocean? Yeah, same in quality. Because if you take a little drop of water, you can't float any boats in it. So it's not the same as the ocean.
large brain. To me, concept is like the really effect, transform, transfigure, they transfuse the materialistic, you know, human energy that's so pervasive, they put them all on Saturday night, you know, and allow them to have at least the small scintilla of the energy of Krishna. So, with that same principle, the equivalent of one chose to go through a class by an offline master that the devotees would bring the truth there, bring the truth to Krishna, so they would transform the nature of the class and bring a presentation of the truth to not only the devotees master, but also to other people thinking.
Notice if they're invited to have kirtan, if they're allowed to chant. Questions, but they have all the answers, and he has no answers. Like you try to do sometimes. Yes. What is the use in questioning some fool who doesn't know anything? If you can go there and speak, or if you can go there and chant, then there's some value. But we don't go just to sit and give off good vibes. We have more important, more direct ways of giving off good vibrations by actually chanting. That's why we chant with instruments. Prabhupada didn't go to functions where he couldn't speak. But he spoke. He came to America and he spoke like anything. So, if they would invite Prabhupada, even sometimes they'd invite him. If he didn't like the association, he wouldn't even go. If they were Mayavadi, sometimes he would. Once we took Srila Prabhupada to in Portland, and we had arranged for him to stay the night in Eugene, because he was giving a lecture there, and it's about 100 miles away. So we thought the program would be over late and he might like to spend the night there rather than drive back late. So a local Ananda Marga group, they vacated their whole house for Prabhupada. But Prabhupada wouldn't stay there. He didn't like to stay in the association of Mayavadis or... Lord Chaitanya wouldn't go. That's why when that person came and invited Lord Chaitanya to his home, it was a very extraordinary situation because everyone knew that Lord Chaitanya never would go to invitations where Mayavadis would be present. He wouldn't even go. But here's this man begging Lord Chaitanya, please come to my home. I'm inviting all the Mayavadi sannyasis. So it was unheard of. But Lord Chaitanya agreed. That was an extraordinary event that he went there. And he delivered all of them. Prakasananda and all of his thousands of followers were delivered by Lord Chaitanya. So, because he knew this would be a good opportunity to preach to them. So, if you could preach, if you can speak at these bogus groups, then actually, yes, Prabhupada wanted that. Sometimes a devotee would go to one of these bogus groups and stand up and say, you know, it would defeat him in the question, as you were saying. And but the people got upset. And then they came and told Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was very pleased with the devotee. He said, no, you should do that. Very good. So if you can go and defeat them, even put pie in the face, he said, yes, that putting pie in the face is good. If you can put the pie in the face, that's nice. Because these people are cheaters, and to call a cheater is good. But don't just go there and listen, then you'll become contaminated. Devotees what? Devotees were going outside of ISKCON for instruction. Is what? More prevalent? Not amongst sincere devotees, intelligent ones. Those who go outside to receive instructions, well, not very intelligent. Because everything we have is right here in these books. And you may say, what? But I, you know, there's so many books and there's so many instructions and I'm confused. You may be confused, but why don't you ask someone who's taken these books as his life and soul? And what is the unique thing of these books? It's not just the verses. It's the purports. That's why we don't just publish books with just the verses. No. The purports are the important thing. The verses, you can get so many Bhagavad Gitas that'll give a general translation, maybe close. But it's the purports. So find out a devotee who takes these purports as his life and soul. And he'll be able to explain everything to you. And there are many in ISKCON who have taken these purports as their life and soul. Yes? Personally. He means, as Prabhupada explains in the last portion of the purport, he says, in the highest vision, there is nothing beyond Brahman, and therefore Brahma, Lord Shiva, are certainly non-different. So from this, on that platform, everything is Brahman, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Not only is Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva non-different than Vishnu, but everything is non-different than Vishnu. Everything's Brahman. So everything is Vishnu. But that's his impersonal feature. In his personal feature, there is differences. That's why we stress the differences too. From the other? Thank you very much. Krantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.